Forgiveness of sins, all of our sins, past sin, present sin, future sin, God forgave them all. We have access to the Lord anytime, anywhere, for any reason. That's wonderful to know that. And another great thing is we have victory over the devil now. It's not someday in Revelation chapter 22 we're going to have victory over the devil. We have it now. We are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have power to live with a clear conscience through the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of what we looked at last time. And we have all of these things when we trust in the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and repent of our sins. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, they're new creations. Old things passed away, all things are becoming new. And I know that each one of us who belong to the Lord understand that, that you go building in your life from things that you know were wrong and how God moves those things out of your life and begins to give you other things that replace it. And that's wonderful to know that. Our love becomes new, our attitudes change, our security is there, we have unity and we have purpose because we're a family together. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's wonderful news. So let's get back to our series, Written in Red. Remember now, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've looked at Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes. You know what a Beatitude is? It's Jesus saying, it's a be attitude. Be this. This is the attitude I want you to have. That's where we got the term, Beatitudes. And then we looked at salt and light. We're to be salt in the world. We're to be light in the world. Salt to flavor and to really engage in the world. And we're to be the light of the world because this world is in darkness. And Christians are to be the light of the world. And then he taught us about prayer. Remember the model prayer, the disciples' prayer. Most people call it the Lord's Prayer. But we looked at that. And then we looked at teaching his teaching on judging others. We're to judge with righteous judgment. There are those who would think that you can't ever judge, but that's not true. We are to judge, but remember it says, judge with the judgment that you're going to be judged with. So it better be a righteous judgment, because the kind of judgment you judge other people, that's the way you're going to be judged. Now, you say, Pastor, what does that mean? I don't know. I really don't know what that means. I just know I'm not going to do it. I mean, that's the bottom line to all of that. So today, I've titled my sermon Broad and Narrow, because every day we make choices that affect the direction that we go in our lives. Yogi Berra once famously said, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. Did you get that? When you get to the fork in the road, take it. Right? That was funnier than you guys are letting on. I'm telling you, that really was. it's a tough crowd this morning. All right. I was reading, there's a group called the Barna Research Group, and they, all things Christian, they have all kinds of different essays and things that they do. And according to the Barna Research Group, when Americans were asked to answer the following question, when you die, will you go to heaven? Now, this is just Americans. This is not either Christians, Jewish, whatever. This is just Americans. 98% said that when they die, they're going to heaven. 98%. Folks, there are lots of people that don't understand the Bible and what it says about going to heaven, or they don't believe the Bible and what it says about going to heaven. They're like the people who are really anxious to go overseas to be missionaries. And in order to get to this particular country, they had to have visa. You know about visas, right? Susan, you know about a visa? You stole my line. They needed visas, so they asked the church to pray. Yeah, she must have read my notes. They asked the church to pray for them, and because they didn't have their visas. And so this little kid came up to the pastor and said, "Why do they need visas? Can't they use MasterCards?" You know, that kid. So you took that. Yeah. Yes. Oh, goodness. But you know what? All fun aside, we do have a visa to get into heaven. We really do. And his name is Jesus. He is our visa. But you know, the sad thing is most people don't have that visa. They really don't. And they're not going. They're not going to be there. Now, that sounds very intolerant, but I'm just repeating what Jesus said. So, Matthew chapter 7, let's stand together in honor of God's word. And I'm going to be reading verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would sink it deep into our hearts, that we would understand what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. It's interesting in this passage of Scripture that Jesus said there are two roads we can travel. One road leads to destruction, the other road leads to life. Not only that, there are two groups who travel these roads. There are the many and there are the few. Or in other words, there's the majority and the minority. Well, there always is, the majority and the minority. And Jesus said the majority take the road to destruction. Interesting word, destruction. It means ruin. It means eternal misery in hell. You know, you don't like to hear about hell, do we? I mean, that's not something we want to hear about. But Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. The minority takes the road to life. The majority takes the road to hell. And one road's narrow, one road's broad. In fact, that's all we need to know. That's why we ought to be missions-minded people. Because there are only two roads. We have a mandate to carry out our mission, to share the message of the Lord, who can take anybody to heaven. You know, that's our mandate, right? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. Somebody has well said, we're just nobodies trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. That's who we are. And here's my first point. We're to be alert people. We are to alert people to a hellish deception. We're to alert people to a hellish deception. Jesus said in verse 13, wide is the gate. That road is both large and it is broad. It's easy to travel. Plenty of room on that road. In fact, the majority of the people in this world stay on that road and they love it. They just love it. It has a wide entrance. It's easy to locate. It's easy to travel. No limitations as to baggage. You can take anything you want with you. You don't have to leave anything behind. You could do whatever you please with absolutely no effort required. It's an easy road. Few rules, few regulations, few restrictions. Anything goes, and anybody is welcome. In fact, sin's tolerated, truth is moderated, and acceptance is elevated. Anybody can come. It's the road most people travel. This is the road for people who believe that one religion is just as valuable as any other religion. They believe that all roads lead to God. And eventually, we're all going to go to heaven. But Jesus said the broad road leads to destruction. It leads to hell. But you know what? The people on that road don't believe it. Because if they did believe it, they'd get off it. They'd get off it. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It's interesting. State Farm Insurance rated the most dangerous intersection for accidents in America. And the most dangerous intersection was the corner of Beltline Road and Midway Road in Addison, Texas. At that one intersection in a Dallas suburb, in 1 year, there were 263 crashes. That averages 5 a week at that intersection. In fact, there were 7 fatalities that year at that intersection. Now, folks, that's a dangerous intersection, right? But the most dangerous intersection in the universe is where Religion Avenue intersects Good Works Boulevard. Because the majority of the world believes that religion or good works or both is all that's necessary to get to heaven. They believe that. Well, Jesus gave them a warning. He's giving us a warning. If you're not on a road that's marked grace, and if you're not driving in a car called faith, and if you don't have a driver named Jesus, you're going the wrong road, headed away from God. You're going the opposite direction. And if you don't believe that, you're following that same hellish deception that appeals to most people. Because it's easy to go. So we're to alert people to a hellish deception. Secondly, we're to attract people to a heavenly direction. We're to send them heavenward. In verse 14, Jesus said, "But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, Jesus said that gate that leads to life is narrow. That word is stenos. We get the word stenography. You know what a stenographer is? It's somebody, or the idea of shorthand. One of the things that just cracks me up is Rochelle will write notes to me, and she'll write it in shorthand, in her shorthand. And I have to literally come along and say, "Honey, what did that say? What's that say?" Because I can't figure it out. So that's kind of the idea here. Yeah, it's what the Lord is doing is painting a picture of a very tiny gate that's easily overlooked. You don't really see it. You can't understand it that way. You really have to search for it if you're going to find it. But not only that, it's very narrow. You can't bring any baggage to this gate. You got to leave everything behind to get it. You can only get through empty-handed. You got to leave your pride. You got to leave your prestige. You got to leave your position. You got to leave it all behind. Because the Lord Jesus is the gate. So the question is not, what's the way to heaven? The question is, who's the way to heaven? Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." The Apostle Peter said in Acts 4:12, which we read this morning, "Neither is there salvation in any other," speaking of Jesus, "for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now, I know that's politically incorrect, and it's not very popular. But it's nevertheless true. It's true. In fact, Jesus not only goes on to say, not only is it narrow, but the way is difficult. It's difficult. You see, you don't have to pay anything for salvation, but salvation will cost you everything you have. That sounds like a contradiction, but it's nevertheless true. Let me say it again. You don't have to pay anything for salvation, but salvation will cost you everything that you have. And the reason few people enter this gate is not because the gate's small, it's because people are so big. They're so big. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he called a little child unto him, he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." We're to be childlike, not childish. We have a whole generation of childish people. Our whole Congress is full of childish people. This is childlike, believing, being faithful. And when we come to God as a sinner, he receives us as a saint. When we become saints, remember, there are only two kinds of people in the world. You're either a saint or you're not. You thought I was going to say ain't, didn't you? Yeah, no, you're either a saint or you're not. You're one of the two. But, you know, when people come to God and they think that they're righteous, God says, that's not the way. And he rejects them. Now, I know that sounds very narrow-minded. It really does. When you say that the gate to eternal life is Jesus and he's the only way that leads you to heaven, that really does sound narrow, doesn't it? And the reason it sounds narrow is because it is narrow. We're being criticized more and more as Christians for being narrow-minded. Narrow-minded. You know, and that doesn't bother me at all. It really doesn't. In fact, it's interesting. We have this brouhaha in the media now because Vice President Pence's wife decided to go back and teach an art class at a college or at a school that she taught for 12 years before she became the Second Lady of the United States. And the ABC crowd is going crazy over that. You know who the ABC crowd is, right? The LBQD, just ABCs. That's the way I look at it. I mean, the thing is, they're going crazy over that. And you know what they're saying? That's hate. That's hateful. If you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, that's hateful. You're not being inclusive. It's amazing that the inclusive crowd is inclusive of everyone except for the Christian. We're not included in the inclusive. We're not included in the open-minded. Folks, these people, her minds have gotten so open that their brains have fallen out. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on in our life. But it doesn't bother me because narrowness can be a really great virtue. It really can. You know, when a pilot's approaching an airfield, he sees the lights on the runway, right? Well, he can come in any way he wants to. But if he wants to get that plane down the right way, he follows that one way. Does that sound familiar? That one way. There is only one road that leads to heaven. And it's a narrow road. It's a one-lane street. But you know, there's a broad road. There's the broad road and the narrow road. And they intersect at one place. It's called the cross of Christ. That's where the broad road intersects the narrow road. And the cross is the only exit off of that broad road that leads to hell. So we're to alert people to a hellish deception. We're to attract people to a heavenly direction. And here's the third one. We're to ask people for a holy decision. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. That's a command, folks. Enter. The gate's meant to be open and entered. You know what? You can go open a gate, but if you don't go through it, what good does it do, right? It's meant to be walked through. You got to decide that. And those of us who've already opened that gate, walked through that gate, we're to tell others about that gate so that they too can have the opportunity to open that gate and walk through that gate just like we did. Let me give you a personal illustration here. How many of you own a computer? I think most of us own computers, all right? They are both maddening and wonderful, right? What has it been, 2 months now? 2 months ago? We were having a problem with Rochelle's computer because it had two conflicting recording things for songs. One was the Windows and the other one was some kind of power thing. So I said, easy, honey, just delete that power thing. Well, she said, okay. So she hits the button, she deletes it, and now she can't get back on her computer. It had wiped everything off. And so I thought, goodness, I don't know what to do. So we took it to the Geek Squad. The Geek Squad. Let me say that again. The Geek Squad. And we explained to them what the problem was. They said, no problem. We have level 1. We have level 2. We have level 3. We have, you know, we go all the way up to stuff like NCIS and, you know, all of those crazy things. I said, okay, good. Just all we want is her Excel files, her photos, and things like that. The rest of it is, that's okay. So we get a call, it's fixed. Oh, that's great. So we brought it home and we log on and there's my computer. Now, not that I took my computer, we took her computer. When we got it back, all the information on her computer was my information. And so I took it back to him. I said, listen, this is wrong. Well, are you all on a network? I said, well, there's like 3 computers in our house. Well, there's no way that could have happened. And they, you know, they begin to geek it up really bad. I mean, they started telling me things. I mean, you know, I understand Greek, but this was really foreign Greek to me, what they were saying. And they just kept on and on and on. And so I said, please, all we're trying to do is get the photographs and get the Excel. That's all we're trying to do. So we get it back, right? And they said, oh, yeah, it's in this file. All you have to do is plug it in and everything's fine. So we plugged it in. Didn't work. And the guy's looking and he says, well, wait a minute. Here it is right here. He punched it. Didn't work. And I said, okay. He says, well, you know, take it home, plug it in, and it'll work. And here's the Geek Squad telling me it doesn't work. Just go home, plug it in, and it'll work. Right. Yeah. So anyway, so we bring it home, and now her computer and my computer are clones. How does that happen, right? I mean, you talking about being cursed, it is a curse. But you know what, on the other side, I don't want to just completely destroy computers. On the other side, it is functional. It does help. I mean, the neat thing, you know what I really like about it is email. You know, you can get an email, and if you want to send it to somebody else or everybody else, there's a button. You just click forward to all, and it forwards it to everybody in the world, you know, that's on your list. So just for those of you that are not familiar with that, if you don't want your email going to everybody, don't hit forward to all, because it'll go to everybody that's on your list, all right? So just remember that when you're doing it. But you know what? I said all of that to say we have our responsibility to forward the gospel to all. Unfortunately, we don't have a button to push forward to all. We have the responsibility of going and telling the good news. And that's what missions really is all about. It is telling the good news, being willing to leave where you are, go where they are, and tell them what they need to hear. And then give them the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Jesus said everyone's headed in one of two directions. You're either eternal life or separation in hell. Those are the only two. And something we should never forget, our destiny is determined by our decisions. Our destiny is determined by our decisions. And if we decide to go the broad road, we're going to wind up in hell. That's just bottom line. If we decide to go the narrow road, we'll wind up in a place called life. Life. Either way, we're going to spend eternity where we decide to go. It's our choice. And we need to make the choice. So Jesus said there are only two gates, narrow and wide. Folks, there's no other gate. There's no in between. There are only two ways, easy or difficult. No middle way. And there are only two crowds, the many or the few. There's no in between group. You're either with the many or you're with the few. In fact, the number of people who travel that right road are not few because there's not enough room. Because God's grace has no limits, right? Heaven has no boundaries. The only reason there are few people is because few are willing to follow the Lord Jesus. And He's the only way. They're on the wrong road, entering the wrong gate. And it's our job to reach out to them, to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Put them on the highway to heaven. Give them the reason for hope. That's the mission that we have here at ECBC. Many people like to think there are many roads that lead to heaven. All religions lead to heaven. That it really doesn't matter what you believe or what you do as long as you're sincere. But according to Jesus, there are only two roads. One leads to life, to heaven. The other, filled with most of the people in this world, with many different beliefs, leads to hell. So the question is, are you on the right way? The only way that leads to life? Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But through me. The way He provides is a narrow one because He requires people to keep His commandments. I was looking, Jesus gave over 50 commandments in the New Testament. Over 50. And a good 20 of them are right here in the Sermon on the Mount. Things like, let your light shine. These are imperatives, which means they are commands to do these things. Let your light shine. Keep your word. Honor God's law. Love your enemies. Ask, seek, knock, and prayer. All of these are commands that Jesus has given us. He said in John chapter 14, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, and my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. So here's a question. Are you among the many? Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Or are you among the few? Small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God said in Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Folks, let's let Jesus direct us, because he'll make our paths straight. He'll instruct and teach us in the way that we should go. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your words. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and how he explains to us the right road, the narrow road, the way, the road that leads to life. And Lord, I pray we each examine our hearts. Are we on the right road? Lord, I just pray that as we give the invitation, that the Holy Spirit would speak mightily, and that all that's accomplished would give honor and glory to Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.